CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. The striking writers' union calls it exceptional, the 3-year tentative contract deal hammered out with studios. Reed Alexander, correspondent for Insider, says crucial to the accord is language about artificial intelligence.
There's been a clear message sent here, which is that the creative force is not going to bow to these tools and simply go quietly into the good night. However, this is a 3-year deal, and we've seen just in the past 3 years how the conversation around, say, generative AI has completely transformed. So where we end up in 3 years is unclear.
Salt water from the Gulf of Mexico is getting into the Mississippi River, and it's threatening drinking water supplies in some Louisiana communities, including New Orleans.
Stores that can get bottled water on the shelves here are seeing it bought up very quickly as shoppers fill beds of pickups and backs of SUVs with case after case.
No need for people to panic.
Suburban Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang says it'll be weeks before the salt water could impact most drinking water intakes in the region. And Colonel Colin Jones with the Army Corps of Engineers says they're bringing in millions of gallons of fresh water to dilute salt water that does get to the filtration plant.
We're going to increase our capacity to deliver, and their needs are going to increase.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Now to Washington, CBS's Nancy Cordes has more on efforts to head off a possible government shutdown.
Holdouts appear to be even more dug in, opposing any of the options to fund the government quickly. And so with just 5 days to go, it's hard to see at this point how Congress keeps the government open. The Senate is going to try this week to pass their own bipartisan short-term spending patch and send it to the House. If McCarthy even allows that to come up for a vote, there are those on the right who say they'd try to oust him so he doesn't have a lot of options.
Overseas, correspondent Charlie Daggett with a key development about Ukraine, U.S. tanks.
Official confirmation from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that American-supplied Abrams tanks are already in Ukraine. It's the first of 31 promised tanks, and it's ahead of schedule, although it's not certain how many have arrived in this first delivery.
After a win in Las Vegas, the Pittsburgh Steelers' charter plane ride home stopped early this morning in Kansas City, an oil pressure problem causing the emergency landing. Getting set for the Super Bowl already is Usher. He's the newly selected halftime act, and he told CBS Mornings,
30 years ago, I made a commitment to offer my best. Here, 30 years later now, it's being rewarded with one of the most prestigious performances and stages anybody could ever play on.
And checking Wall Street, the Dow is down 181 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Minnesota resident is dead after a crash in western Wisconsin on Friday evening. According to the St. Croix Sheriff's Office, 26-year-old Andreas Aristido of Maple Grove, Minnesota, was killed after a crash in the town of Glenwood around 5:30 p.m. on Friday. Aristido reportedly failed to yield to a Wisconsin driver and was pronounced dead at the scene upon the arrival of authorities. The other driver was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, and the incident is still under investigation. Human trafficking in Wisconsin will be at the forefront of the Wisconsin State Legislature this week. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has announced his task force on human trafficking will have its first meeting on Wednesday, with representatives from the State Department of Justice and Department of Public Instruction expected to testify. The goal of the task force is to find more tools Wisconsin can use to combat human trafficking. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com.
sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
As so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenaire.
Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, hour two. Just to clarify, she is not new mom yet. Kristen is on maternity leave. We are waiting for the little girl to arrive. No word on delivery yet or anything. And as soon as we know something, we will let you know. And Kristen will be joining us on the show once she comes. And probably not this week, I would think, but certainly hopefully by next week. Coming up at 11:20, Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own sports reporter, will be joining us to talk about the Packers' surprising come-from-behind win yesterday, 18-17. That was quite the fourth quarter, and it was a lot of fun to watch, actually. And then at 11:33, Robin Grams from the city of Waukesha will be here live in person to talk about Walktober, which is a big wine event, walking event in downtown Waukesha, which we love. So stick around for that as well. Right now, though, wanted to talk about unusual pets. And I've known people who have had boa constrictors. There are many other odd pets, but this springs from a newly approved ordinance in Madison, which allows residents there to keep miniature pigs as pets. This is after a pig called Rudy, who lived in a yard along Madison's southwest bike path, who has become known for his strolls through the neighborhood while his human walks him on a leash. But after a neighbor complaint, Rudy's owners were sent a notice in July informing them their pig is illegal under city code and they could face a fine. However, there was an 11-8 vote from the Common Council on Tuesday night, and Rudy now has the all clear to stay in Madison. The ordinance allows one vaccinated pig per household, can't weigh more than 300 pounds, must be outfitted with a microchip identifying its owner by name and address, and the pig can go out as long as it is led by a competent individual on a leash, which is no longer than 6 feet. So how do we feel about unusual pets? Do you have an unusual pet? Should people have unusual pets? Are you inspired now to maybe consider a mini pig? Although I have to say, if you're 300 pounds, is that really a mini pig? Maybe to other pigs. But that seems like an awfully big pet. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Unusual pets, do you have one? Do you want one? Did you have one? I knew a woman who had a boa constrictor, Greg Bach, and she named it Fluffy.
I went through a snake phase.
Did you?
I really wanted a snake.
You know? Did?
Yeah. You know, I thought, I don't know. I'm not cool or like tough or anything, but I just thought having a snake was cool. And then you just, I think what happened was, is you meet more than one friend who has a snake and you realize this is not right.
I'm not as unique as I thought.
No, I'm not. I'm just a, I'm just a, just a little not cool guy, basically.
What did you name? What kind of snake was it, and what did you name it?
I didn't have one.
Oh, you didn't?
I wanted one.
Oh, you wanted one.
I wanted one because I thought that was a... Because also, it's kind of a pet that it's like you don't have to walk it. You don't have to do like the...
But you have to feed it live things.
Yeah.
Other than that...
I mean, sure.
Don't you have to, I mean...
I don't think it has to be alive. You just have to feed... Like, you can go to the pet store and... I mean, I don't know. I think... I don't have one, so I have no pets right now. My life is not a good pet-friendly world right now. But there is talk in the Bach household about a dog.
That's what I thought, yeah, because we had talked early in the year about that.
Yeah.
I have friends who had a lizard.
Oh, and my mother, if you say, Mama Bach, if you say, oh, they have a lizard, that's not a pet.
See, and I would agree with you, and it got to the point where it got so big, I mean... That thing had to be at least a foot long. Its tail was huge.
Yeah.
And they went away at one point and asked me to take care of whatever his name was. Cause he can flick his tail at you now. And it's like, I'm not messing with a lizard.
No, no, thank you. There's no friend I care about enough to be like, I'll come take care of your dog. I'll do that. But a lizard? No.
Not doing the lizard.
Nope.
Not doing the snake. Not going to happen.
I'll go as far as pig or mini horse.
Mini horse, I could see. Yeah. And I do know that pigs are supposedly really intelligent animals.
As long as they're small, I don't want to have to wrestle a 300-pound pig. It's like, to me, that's no longer, like, when I hear a pet pig, I think of a tiny little
teacup.
Yeah, exactly. And that stays that size. That's it. Once it gets to a certain point where when it's outweighing me, it's not a pet anymore. It is now.
It's a roommate.
It's a roommate that doesn't pay rent and eats my food.
And you have to pick up after that 300-pound pig.
Yeah.
And
no,
I,
thank you.
And I guess that's the biggest, one of the larger drawbacks I can imagine with having a pet pig, because growing up, one of the girls that I went to high school with, her father was a pig farmer, and there's nothing quite like that aroma. Nothing.
It's a special smell. We have a text message from the, let's see here, from the 262 saying, pigs are allowed in household as long as it's a single pig and microchip. That would never fly in Waukesha County because there are too many households with multiple Oh, come on. That was
just taking a shot.
That was a shot, and that was mean. We're having a nice, lovely conversation about pigs.
And then there's a shot. That's fine. 844-967-2789. What pets did you have as a kid? What pets do you have now? Do you have an unusual pet? Do you know people who have an unusual pet? 844-967-2789. Are they willing to be chipped? Unlike our texture implied that there are politicians who don't want to be microchipped. I'm just curious. I mean, we had fish tank when I was growing up. We always had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
There was a turtle phase, which I have memories of, and I just remember how slimy the container got.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
We had fish. I had fish in my room. Learned about the circle of life the hard way when we had a fish that was pregnant and...
Oh, they eat them.
Yep. Gone. I was devastated.
Really?
Yeah. That was not fun. Then we had a dog for like it was wasn't a great experience. Had a bird, which I just don't think we should have birds. Zoos or in the wild. That's it.
No birds in cages at home.
Nah, they're just no, because they don't belong in cages. They belong out in the world, and I feel like if I'm doing that, it just doesn't feel right. And then I did find a turtle once, and I tried to make it my pet, and did not work. I had to take it right back to where I found it.
Oh, you found a wild turtle.
Found a wild turtle here in Waukesha. We were driving, and I was like, oh my god, there's a turtle. I picked it up, brought it in the car, and it started to panic. And I know that because it started to pee everywhere.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, you love that. I have a good story about a bird. My sister always had, and we had parakeets too growing up, and there was always the day that you would come and take the cover off of the bird cage, and there would be little Cheaper with his little claws. He's on his back with his little claws in the air. But my sister had a number of parakeets, and she would let them fly around the house. And unfortunately, one summer, they had a fruit fly outbreak. So she hung up one of those sticky strips.
Yeah.
And she let the bird out, and the bird got stuck on the sticky strip. And it's flapping as it's trying to get off of the sticky strip. And ultimately, she was able to free the bird with little trauma, apparently. But that's a story that still goes around our family to this day. And also, a fish tank story. My mother was a very, very kind-hearted woman.
Yeah.
And we had tropical fish, and we had angel fish, and we had little neons, which are really tiny little fish.
Oh, I had the neons.
The neons, beautiful, really pretty little fish.
Mm-hmm.
And this angel fish would go after the neons. And it upset my mother so much. And she'd tap on the glass, and she'd, you know, flick the glass to try and get the angel fish to be less aggressive. And I was in about fifth grade, and one day I came home from school. And you know those little nets that you can put inside the fish tank?
Yeah.
Like a little holding cell?
Yeah.
That's where the angel, she put the angel fish in there.
Mm.
And I said, Mom, why did you do that? And she said, he's in isolation. I want him to think about what he's done. And I said, Mom, I don't know that the lesson, you know, the grounding of the angel fish is actually going to have the reaction that you were hoping it was going to have. And then ultimately, I think the angel fish might have gotten lost down the disposal.
There's a lot of craziness at the
house. At the Matinair household. You know, these things happen. We were a funeral family, so you want to be careful when it comes to the demise.
I want them to think about what they did.
I want him to think about what he's done. I laughed so hard, I thought I was going to wet my pants.
I think next step is you deny fish flakes. No fish flakes for dinner.
No, but as long as he's only in his isolation net. Because otherwise, then you can't feed the whole rest of the crew.
So exactly.
Not going to work out. All right, well, congratulations to Rudy the Pig in Madison, freely roaming on his leash with his competent human being, as long as it's not more than, the leash has to be 6 feet long. So happy ending there for Rudy and the family. Coming up, Michael Clemens, our sports reporter for the Civic Media Network, and he literally is everywhere, that man. He pretty much travels with the team. And eats, sleeps, and breathes Packers. So Michael Clemens is going to be joining us right after the break and talk about that really kind of surprising comeback from zero score that the Packers had yesterday. So they really turned things around in the fourth quarter. And then coming up at 11:30, joining us live in studio is Robin Grams with the city of Waukesha. And Walktober is coming up, which is that's a big deal. And a wonderful way to see Waukesha and downtown Waukesha, which really is adorable. If you've never been here, I really do encourage you to come and check it out. So more to come. Please stay with us. You can always check in. You can always leave a comment. You can comment on the live stream. You can send us a text or a call at 844-967-2789. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, showers and thunderstorms with a high near 68. Showers tonight, maybe some thunder, lows around 59. Showers and storms on your Tuesday with a high around 67. For Wednesday, a chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, 68. Some sun by Thursday with a high of 70.
It's 64 at our studios.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Kristen is on maternity leave. I'm Jane Matner filling in. Greg Bach is on the board and joining us on the phone. Michael Clemens, sports reporter for the Civic Media Network. Michael, what a game yesterday.
It was special.
It really was. 18-17, Packers trailed the entire game. And then all of a sudden, what, Mike, in the fourth quarter, things turned around and the momentum just switched.
Well, and it's alumni weekend, so you got Jerry Kramer and Dave Robinson, you know, some of the players still left from the Lombardi era that came in, Lynn Dickey and those players from the 80s, and then like Leroy Butler and Gilbert Brown, you know, our own Gilbert Brown that's on our network of stations from the, you know, Brett Favre, Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl era. So those guys came back this weekend. They're in the stands. They're recognized at halftime. Packers come out against a Saints team. The Matt LaFleur, you know, warned us, this is a very good defense. These guys are very physical. The secondary is very physical against the receivers. They get away with a lot. And that's the way the game was playing out at the start. Except the Packers, they had like seven penalties even before halftime.
Yeah.
And under Matt LaFleur, they have not had a problem with penalties. I think they ended up having 11 for 90 yards by the end of the day. So I think it was a combination of the refs were calling everything. And the other thing is that the Packers were just not used to some of the contact they were getting in the secondary from those guys. And they were having mental mistakes, too. You know, they were losing David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, their starting left tackle and left guard, were out of the game
right
because of injuries. So all these things were screwing up their drives. But it like the game against the Falcons, I thought LaFleur had another good game plan, and that's because you still saw receivers breaking free and getting open through the first three quarters. It's just that Love, you know, was not connecting with them. And then things turned at the start of the fourth quarter, and the defense came up with some big plays. And Rashawn Gary, a guy who suffered a torn ACL in a game against the Lions on the turf at Ford Field last November, and amazingly he's back, he gets another three sacks in the game. He's sacking the quarterback. He took Derek Carr, their starting quarterback, out of the game with a shoulder injury. It might be an AC joint sprain. He had to go to the hospital to have that X-ray. Jameis Winston, he's a veteran. He came in, but things just started to click for Jordan Love. And did you see on some of those touchdowns, those players in the end zone with their hands cupped like the shape of a heart? That, you know, they've got Jordan Love's back. That entire team does. And that's what was making the difference yesterday.
It's really interesting that you say that, Mike, because to have that blatant of a expression of their support for him after the way that Aaron Rodgers kind of treated everybody like second-class citizens, it's really wonderful to see. It is. It's got to be great for the players and for the team.
Well, and you know, at some point you take a step back and realize the entire organization for the last 3 or 4 years that Aaron was here was hell bent on winning a Super Bowl for Aaron. It was almost like guilt. Like, you know, people are going to say long after we leave here, God, you had Aaron Rodgers and you only won one Super Bowl. And that's what the whole organization. Now they're winning it for themselves, for everybody.
Right. You know, for
this
everybody.
This group of rookie receivers, the quarterback is an equal with all those guys. And now it's starting to think like, you know, Aaron Rodgers probably did this organization a favor by moving on and, you know, trying to sort of rejuvenize his image with the New York Jets. So Love, just he got more focused. Here's another thing that happened. You know, the two-minute offense, when they kind of go no huddle and they hurry up and they just, you know, dink and dunk and short little passes left and right. And usually save that for the last couple minutes of a game, maybe when you're down by a touchdown or something. They went to that playbook pretty much at the start of the fourth quarter. And so when you talk to the players about, you know, what changed, and they said, you know, we drill that two-minute offense order every day. So when we went to that, we stopped thinking. We didn't have to think anymore. It was all like muscle memory. And that's when things started clicking. They moved down the field. Now, you can't do that a whole game, but if you can do it for 3 or 4 series like they did, you start wearing out veteran defenses, and they start getting gassed. And that's some of the things that, you know, made the difference. Now, nevertheless, the Packers now had just taken the lead, 18-17. They have to kick off to the Saints, and then the Saints dink and dunk, and they move down the field, and they get past the 50-yard line. Then they had a rookie kicker by the name of Rupi, and he went wide right from 48. And so, you know, a little bit of luck involved. You know, it was a game that had some good preparation, some grit, and a little bit of luck at the end for the ball to go wide right, which just makes it even more of a classic. 78, I'll tell you, Jane, I've covered a couple of games at Camp Randall when the Badgers play. You know when they do the jump around at the end of the third quarter?
Yes.
That old press box waves. it's really sickening. It's like, come on, man. But, and, you know, the guys have been covering the Badgers for 30 years. They're used to it. But I every time that happens, I'm grabbing onto a pole. For the first time ever in all the years that you know and I've been covering Packers, the press box at Lambeau Field rocked when that kid missed that field goal.
Oh, I bet.
I thought it was like a small earthquake.
Do we have time for the clip, Greg, or not? I know we only got about a minute left. We've got a minute and a half left.
We should, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Struggled on fourth down today. Love will take it in. He told us he would do the Lambeau leap on a rushing touchdown.
I ain't never been a part of a win like that before in my career in the National Football League. Give it up for yourself.
All right, Packers win over the Saints, 18-17. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter for Civic Media. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. That's so last minute. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
Take care. We will talk to you again. All right, stick around. Coming up next, Walktober. We're going to find out all about that. Robin Grams from the city of Waukesha is going to be joining us live. Stay right here. This is As Goes Wisconsin. A homemade bag.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief. Key details emerging about the new tentative contract agreement reached by striking writers and Hollywood studios. Reporter John Baird.
It would boost their pay rates and their residual payments for streaming shows and impose new rules over the use of artificial intelligence.
CBS's Nancy Cordes has more on the trouble in Congress as the clock ticks toward a possible government shutdown.
A small group of conservatives is threatening Kevin McCarthy's speakership if he tries to work with Democrats to fund the government.
government temporarily. The funding fight is creating clear division within the GOP.
343 New York City firefighters died on 9/11. Now the same number has died from illnesses related to the response. Robert Folco was 73 and had pulmonary fibrosis. Union President Andrew Ansbrough.
His passing represents a doubling of the FDNY's losses from the September 11th attacks that day. We mourn his loss. We honor his memory.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A 17-year-old girl was killed in a car crash with a semi-truck in western Wisconsin on Saturday morning. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the 17-year-old from Fairchild, Wisconsin, was driving on Highway 29 near Elk Mound when she struck a semi-truck going the opposite direction. The semi-truck then went through the median and drove into a ditch. The driver of the semi-truck was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. According to a WPR report, Wisconsin will soon be home to a first-of-its-kind energy storage system that could become the template for wide-scale use across the country. A 200-megawatt-hour storage system is planned by Alliant Energy in Columbia County, using $30 million of federal grant money. Alliant Energy claims the, quote, highly efficient, zero-emission battery system can power as many as 20,000 homes by compressing carbon dioxide from a gas into a liquid, then back into a gas when energy is needed. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Jane Madnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and now we are going to be talking a little festival, Walkie Fest kind of thing. Joining me from the city of Milwaukee, Robin Grams, thank you so much for coming in, and tell me about Walktober.
Yeah, so I'm Robin Grams. Waukesha, so we put on the Walktober Beer and Wine Walk every October. This year, it is October 21st from 4 to 7 p.m., and we have 5 tickets remaining. So
you only have 5 tickets left?
5 tickets out of the 325 that we put online.
Wow. So this has really grown.
It has, yes. So in the past years, we've usually had maybe 2 to 3 sponsors. We have 9 this year.
That's terrific.
Yes. Yeah.
So how does this all work?
So we find the sponsors. So I'll just do a shout out real quick. We have Crush Wine Bar, Smart Asset Realty, Quick Trip, Waxing the City, Waukesha Civic Theater, Polish Patina, Waukesha Chamber of Commerce, the Almont Gallery, and Summit Woods. So we got a good list of sponsors this
year. That's great.
And so what we do is then we find host sites in the downtown. So we'll have 16 different host sites this year, 16 different stops that are retail-based. The wine bars are included as well.
Sure.
But what we do then is we do a beer or wine sample at each location. So when you order your tickets, you pick beer or wine. You can change it the day of if you have a feeling for one or the other.
Okay.
But it's 16 different stops where you get to sample a different wine or a local Wisconsin beer. And then each place will have appetizers as well. And then the participants also get a gift bag with some promo items.
And how much are the tickets?
The tickets were 2 for 60 or 1 for 35.
That's really a good deal.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it is.
And what a great night out, and give you a chance to get exposed to a little libation you maybe haven't had before. Yeah. And also some of the different places that you can stop downtown.
Yeah, it's great because you get a lot of people going to these downtown businesses that might not have been to Waukesha before. I know we've done a poll in the past and many aren't from Waukesha and they come from all over, but it gets another 325 people to downtown, to the businesses, to the restaurants, and the events from 4 to 7. So we encourage people then to grab a bite to eat at one of our great downtown places.
It's an adorable downtown.
It is.
It's very walkable. It's very pedestrian friendly. And I think sometimes people associate Waukesha with the burbs, and like as you're driving here on Blue Mount Road and you're coming down, we actually have a downtown in Waukesha.
We do.
Like a real downtown with shops and stores and resale shops and jewelry stores and bars and restaurants. And it's a little confusing getting around perhaps, but there's public parking.
Mm-hmm.
Is parking an issue the night of Walktober?
No, we haven't ever really had a problem with the parking. We have the two parking ramps, one on South Street and then the other North Street ramps. And it's free for the first couple hours and then $3 for 24 hours.
Oh.
So if you leave your car overnight, you got
Greg is laughing.
You pay $3 for that.
The only place I've ever seen parking cheaper is Racine, where it's like $1 for the whole day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a deal. It really is. Is this something that you personally attend every year?
So I put it on. So I make sure everybody's having fun. I walk around, check on all the host sites. But my wife attends. There's people that will attend
and report back to you.
Yeah, well, I drive her home at the end of the night. So.
That's good. Always good to have a driver if you're going to be doing something like this. Make sure someone is sober. We don't want anybody to get in any trouble.
No, and we do have designated driver tickets that people have bought.
Oh, do you?
So they have different non-alcoholic drinks at each of the stops as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So where can people find the tickets?
So you can go to our downtownwaukesha.com page. Like I said, there's not many rooms.
Five tickets left. I wouldn't wait if you want to go.
Yeah. So, but our Downtown Waukesha page has a lot more stuff on it as well. Just we have a calendar. We have we post a lot of the activities that happens downtown. And I'm not sure people know, but there's a Waukesha Downtown Business Association. So they put on events like the Art Crawl is going to be the weekend of October 7th from 2 to 8. And
oh,
that's
great.
Downtown.
Great.
And then what Downtown Trick or Treat to in the local businesses is on the 28th from 1 to 3.
How does so the kids just get to go to different businesses downtown?
Yep, and get candy.
How fun. What's the age cutoff for that?
Jane?
I'm just asking. I'm merely curious.
I don't know if there is one.
What else is coming up in Waukesha that you would like to plug while we got you here?
Well, the two events that we put on for the city is the Riverside Rhythms, which ended at the end of August.
That's
that lunchtime concert series.
What a wonderful little gem that is, too. And so it's local musicians, and mm-hmm. there's always a food truck,
correct.
And it's right by the river, and it's not mobbed.
No, we averaged about 100 to 125 people
which
this year.
Real which is comfy.
It is, yes. And there are places to sit in that. But we're always looking for sponsors for the next years. So we're doing that. There is one thing I want to plug is if anybody's looking to help volunteer, we do we use staff to volunteer the event. So October, if anybody wants to help with check-in, they can let me know.
So if they help to volunteer for Walktober, then can they also partake?
We'll have to see the tickets because we determine the amount of beer and wine ordered.
Sure.
Based on that 325 people. And so we see, but at least they get to kind of see how it is and be part of it. But the check-in's at the Waukesha Civic Theater again this year.
Well, and so none of these things happen without volunteers.
No,
right?
No, otherwise it's city staff.
And then taxpayer funded. So no, and if it's in your own community, why wouldn't you want to be part of your community? I just think it's a wonderful way to be involved, to make new friends, to make new contacts. You know, we have a loneliness epidemic in this country. And there are ways to alleviate that, but sometimes you have to just go look for them a little bit.
That's why I think a lot of these events are so popular is people have just been wanting to get out after years of being inside. So
exactly.
We've seen a lot of these events grow.
That's great. That's great. So trick or treat next month. Walktober is in October. Five tickets left if you want to do Walktober. What about the Christmas parade? I'm sure that planning starts well in advance.
Yeah, so our communications team that we have the city, they do the planning for that event. But any of our information can be on the downtownwaukesha.com or the City of Waukesha or Downtown Waukesha Facebook and Instagram pages. So a lot of that information is coming up because once we get to the Christmas time, there'll be the silver bells that the Downtown Business Association puts on, the Walk of Lights, the Christmas tree, the parade, everything like that. So just keep a look at our calendar, and it'll tell you when those things are.
Robin Grams is with the City of Waukesha. We're talking about Walktober, which is coming up, and a number of other events that are going to be happening in Waukesha and downtown Waukesha over the next couple of months. Anything else, Robin, that's going on that you're excited about, that you think people absolutely need to know this about Waukesha?
No, I just think it's a lot of great events going on, but we also, our downtown it's busy. There's not a lot of vacant buildings or spaces available. There's we have a lot of businesses that have come into Waukesha and they're staying, and they're noticing that a lot of people are coming down.
Well, and as you mentioned, the art walk, which is also going to happen. I was surprised when I was doing some decorating for the office here, and I went to look around downtown Waukesha to check out the local vendors. There are wonderful art galleries.
Mm-hmm.
Considering what a small community, you know, what a small downtown area. And so if you're looking for unique Christmas presents or birthday presents, I think this is a better place to go than going to those big, well, Amazon or all of those other big box stores. If you're looking for unique things, blown glass or, you know, local artists and their products and carvings and paintings and you name it. It's a wonderful resource.
Yeah, they have. I think Small Business Saturdays, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, get people down there as well. I know. I think the same weekend as the Arcross, the Vintage Shop Hop, which two of our businesses, Burlap and Lace and Flippin' Fabulous, are part of that.
Ooh, that's when is that?
I believe it is also the 7th, but otherwise on our downtown Waukesha calendar, we'll have an updated.
I'm a big vintage shopper.
Yeah.
Lots of deals. You never know what treasures you will find there, Robin. You never, never, never know. Well, get your tickets now. Don't wait. If Walktober is your thing, you're going to want to jump on those because I would imagine possibly by the time we get off the air today, those five tickets will be gone. And consider volunteering as well. Consider getting involved in your own community. And I have to say too, Robin, the fact that Our downtown area here in Waukesha seems to be thriving, and that speaks very highly of the community as well and surrounding communities to keep them going, because if there's no patrons, then you have no business.
Yeah, and I know over the years there's the construction on Broadway and Barstow and all that, but though that construction, that work is done.
Is it done?
The streets look nice, sidewalks, everything looks good, yeah.
Well, make your plans now to visit Waukesha and spend some money and spread the love. And it's a wonderful community, and we're located right here to the WAUK studios, Wisconsin Avenue, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. So you can drive past and see our lights in the windows now.
You can wave to us.
Yeah, give us a wave. If you're so inclined, you can give us a flip. I don't know. We might just ignore those. But.
Wow. Jane Mountaineer starting guff.
I'm just like to leave open the any eventuality. So,
yeah.
Right? You got to.
Of course, yeah. You know, it was like, hey, it takes all kinds.
It does take all kinds. It absolutely does. Robin Graham's, we got three more minutes. Anything else you can think of? Anything you would tell businesses who might be considering a move to Waukesha?
Yeah, the downtown, it's the business owners talk. They're close. The Downtown Business Association and the Waukesha Chamber of Commerce are heavily involved with the growth in Waukesha. With the Downtown Business Association, they put on the events like the Farmers Market,
which is a wonderful farmers market.
Yes, and it goes till the end of October. And then I believe they transition to an indoor farmers market.
Oh, really?
During the winter, yes. So, but Friday Night Live is another thing the WDBA puts on, and the Silver Bells, and the Chamber helps with the parades, everything. So, yeah. And then the last thing, too, is in November that one of the memorials in the downtown will be going up on Main Street.
Right. So. That's right. Well, We will talk to you again before that happens and give a chance to highlight that as well. Thank you so much for stopping in today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Robin Graham is from the city of Waukesha joining us on As Goes Wisconsin. Just one more break left before the end of our first show without Kristen, who is on maternity leave. So far, Greg Bach, I don't think we broke anything.
We did, I'm not replacing it. Well, I'm not telling anyone.
Well, Robin's the only other guest we've had in here, so we'll just blame it on him.
I like that idea. It's real good smarts.
All right, thinking. Well, we'll go with that. Stay close. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, showers and thunderstorms with a high near 68. Showers tonight, maybe some thunder, lows around 59. Showers and storms on your Tuesday with a high around 67. For Wednesday, a chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, 68. Some sun by Thursday with a high of 70.
Right now, it's 65.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinier in Fort Kristen Bry. Greg Buck is on the phone. Thank you to Robin Grams from the city of Waukesha, for joining us in the studio today to bring us up to speed about some of the many, many wonderful things that are happening in downtown Waukesha. One thing I wanted to make sure to mention, Greg Buck, Keep Our Republic, and we have had them on the show before.
Yeah.
Keep Our Republic is holding a community engagement seminar that's tonight at 5:30 at Fire Station Number 1 in Suamico. So if you're in that area and you're concerned about how voting works and how our voting systems work and what happens after you vote and where do the ballots go and all those things, this is the seminar that you want to attend. They're going to feature county clerks, village clerks, election officials, and election equipment vendors as presenters. This is the second one that Keep Our Republic is hosting in Wisconsin, and these engagement seminars are designed to foster trust, respect, and confidence in Wisconsin's elections, also give an opportunity for residents to gain insights into the post-election day process, including the crucial aspects of canvassing and the certifications of votes. And I think, certainly, I did not appreciate all of the checks and balances there are to make sure that ballots are getting counted and that procedures are being followed. It's much more complicated, I think, than people realize. And I think the more that you know about how the system actually works, the better you will feel about the results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you know, the process is, it's not the sexiest process to talk about.
No.
But it does help you, especially with, like, you know, when you're, there have been many election nights where someone will say something like, no, that's not how it happens. This is how it happens. We got to make sure we get all the counts in. You can't just announce winners, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I think events like this are important. I'm wondering, you know, I'm always curious on these types of events there about fostering democracy and letting you know how the process is and how we do things here. And the people who just be like, no, that's all fake. No, it's all rigged.
Right.
This whole event's rigged.
Yeah. No, if you can, and again, it's in Suamico tonight at 5:30 at Fire Station Number 1. But I think it's important, if you are interested and you really want to know how the process works, then these are the kinds of things that we should be attending and boning up on so that we really understand the process. Again, there's lots of safeguards. There's lots of steps. There's lots of checks and balances. So things are on the up and up. So thank you to them for making a heads up about that for Keep Our Republic. And you can always look for them online as well if you want to get involved.
You said it's tonight?
It's tonight. It's 5:30. Tonight.
Okay, yeah. I also feel like, you know, now that we're not in it, we are currently not in a breakneck election process at this very moment.
Right.
It is also very good to talk about the fact that polling places are always looking for polling workers.
Oh, for sure. Just think about the average age of your polling workers. And I love the poll workers in my neighborhood, and they've been the same ones for years. But some of these are quite elderly people, and at some point they will need to be replaced.
Yeah.
And so if you can do that, that would be fantastic.
the more you can educate your kids about getting involved. That's something that my mother always did. She was always a poll worker all through our childhood. And I remember it clearly because one of my sisters then had to make dinner and she always made the same thing.
What'd she make?
She made meatloaf.
Oh, wow.
Boiled carrots.
Oh, God.
Which were always crunchy.
Good.
And probably potatoes. But yeah, it's like,
it's like the typical.
I know.
That's like a dish that they'd put down on a Norman Rockwell painting.
Meatloaf and carrots.
Yeah. We have a text from the 608, Angie in Monroe. We need a meeting like this in Greene County really, really bad, explaining the votes, how this all goes, because it's really red there.
Well, again, the organization is called Keep Our Republic, and if they're going to be doing this across the state, so if you would like to, you know, I don't know, make a reach to them or say, hey, come to Greene County.
I mean, we can put the link in the show notes today, and you can at least, if you don't go to the event, you can at least go to their website and see if they'd be willing to do an event there. I mean, it's, you know, learning these kinds of things. It's about working at the polls. If you are a lawyer or you are lawyer adjacent, voter protection. There are ways in safeguarding the process of voting that can fit for you.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I feel good just voting, but like one day I want to become a poll worker when I have more time, because I just, every time I go there, I cast my ballot, whether it's early or on the day, and I always thank them for their help. I always make sure they know they're appreciated, because they are. And man, there's some shady people out there who are doing shady things, and we want to make sure those individuals are protected, not just because they're people, but because they're protecting the important work.
Absolutely. And the website, by the way, it's keepourrepublic.com. So that's pretty simple. Keepourrepublic.com if you want to reach out to them and see if they can hold one of these seminars in your town or in your county. Keepourrepublic.com. And as Greg said, we will have that in our show notes. Day number one,
Jane Bach.
I'm glad we got the first one in the books.
The first one's in the books, my friends. The book of life.
The book of life. Kristen is anticipating maybe she'll be out through December. We'll see how that goes once the baby comes. And still no baby news. Of course, we will tell you once we get any baby news. And
or maybe we won't.
Maybe we won't.
Well, maybe we, like, around, like, when the kid's 17. Oh, by the way, she had the kid.
And her name is Verna.
Her name is Verna. That's Bertha.
Surprise for
Olga.
You. Olga. Coming up tomorrow, Dan Schaefer will be here from 10:30 to 11 o'clock as we recombobulate. Coming up on Wednesday, David Drake, who is one of our experts from UW-Madison, is going to be joining us on Wednesday to talk about the flamingo sightings.
Awesome.
I know. We had so much fun talking to him the last time about the roseate spoonbill.
He was very nice, but I feel like you had, like, I had fun. You had unbridled ecstasy towards it.
I know. It's ridiculous.
You talked about multi-pocketed jackets for at least 3 days.
It's just the little joyful things in life, Greg. You got to go. You got to go with what makes you happy.
I agree.
All right. We have news coming up next, then Town Hall. Stay close for that, followed by the Todd Alba Show beginning at 1 p.m. Thanks to everybody. Todd Alba, Greg Bach, Robin Grams, and Michael Clements for joining the show today. Thanks so much to you for listening, for watching on the stream, for texting and calling. I hope you'll come back tomorrow. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.